Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Doug Conant. How are you, Doug?
Great.
And Doug, as you know, we've interviewed with several times, and he has been really the turnaround story as CEO of Campbell Soup Company, which was an incredible story of employee engagement. We'll talk about, we'll also talk about success to significance. We'll talk about governance, and we will talk about his book, Blueprint. And by the way, if you're listening in right now, go to Amazon and get it. I would say this was truly, after reading, I've read over 1,000 business books, this was among a handful of the most impactful to me, and it's the only one that told me leadership, don't listen to others, but start from within. So let's start on the concept of turning around a company and how that works from an employee engagement and retention concept. You joined Campbell Soup in 2001. You were CEO, and in a decade was a complete turnaround. Talk about what it was like and the challenges in turning it around.
It's great to be with you and to relive this. It was a decade ago now, but as we start talking about it, it will feel like yesterday to me. I started January 8, 2001. I had just left the company I had been working for, Nabisco Foods Company, had just been sold by KKR December 30th of that year. So I took 1 week off, and then I started a Campbell Soup Company. Campbell Soup Company was in dire straits. That's typically when CEO jobs become available to outsiders. If they're going well, they're usually people promoted from within. That was not the case at Campbell. Campbell was struggling. We'd lost half our market value in the prior 2 years. We had priced up our soup to unusually high levels. Sales declined. And so then we started, in order to make our earnings, quarterly earnings, we started cutting our marketing spending, our product innovation spending. And surprise, a consumer packaged good, it declined faster. But we made the quarterly earnings target. And then after all that stopped working, we said, well, we can't afford to put all these ingredients in this canned soup. So we started with a wave of productivity where we actually started taking the chicken out of chicken noodle soup. And at which point it was going from the sublime to the ridiculous. And the business continued to decline. We also made several other tactical errors that were made by good, well-intentioned people that were just operating in the moment and trying to keep their heads above water. And ultimately, the enterprise was struggling so much that we actually had to, before I got there, we had several rounds of layoffs. And people were laid off with insufficient packages, and everybody that was left had a friend that had either been sitting to the left of them or the right of them who had lost their job and had limited prospects. Add to all that, that we were headquartered in the poorest, most dangerous city in the United States, Camden, New Jersey, that was bankrupt, a ward of the state of New Jersey, and there was actually a bullet hole in the window of the CEO's office. So that was what I walked into. The building itself was surrounded by razor wire, and there were guard towers protecting the parking lot. Ostensibly, that was to make the employees feel safer inside the building because you had guards. But when you drove in, you felt like you were driving into a minimum security prison in the poorest, most dangerous city in the United States. That was what was going on at Campbell Soup Company. A friend of mine, Jim Kiltz, who you know well, coined the phrase for me, the circle of doom, where you make one bad decision, which leads to another bad decision, which leads to another bad decision. And Campbell was clearly trapped in the circle of doom. And at which point they recruited me in to break the pattern. The first day I got there, the board had me basically fire the CFO who they didn't have confidence in. So my first act when I joined the company was to fire the one guy that was responsible for all the finances. You couldn't make it up. that was the environment I walked into. And fundamentally, I have this core belief, and you've heard me say this before, that you cannot win in the marketplace until you first win in the workplace. You've got to create a winning workplace culture that will ultimately lead to wins in the marketplace. It's very akin to what my friend Jim Collins talks about in Good to Great when he says you got to get the right people on the bus before you get the strategy right and before you start activating that strategy. It was all about re-engaging the people that were left there, and that was our job. Our job also was to manage expectations. We refused to overpromise and underdeliver. Other language I've used in the past is you cannot talk your way out of something you've behaved your way into as a company. You have to behave your way out of it. That took time. It took us years to get into that mess. It was going to take us years to get out. There were no quick fixes here. We were an old economy canned soup company in the poorest, most dangerous city in the United States. We were not going to turn this around on a dime with a new app. It wasn't going to happen. So we said, in 3 years, we're going to go from being the poorest performing food company in the top 20 in the world to being competitive on a good day. The next 3 years, we're going to endeavor to go from being competitive on a good day to good every day. And in the next 3 years, we're going to really strive to become exceptional. But it's going to take that long. And my perspective was if the board did not want to pursue that kind of path to improvement that would promise to be enduring, I wasn't interested in the job because it was a long walk on a short pier. From my perspective, that's what we focus on, employee engagement, becoming competitive. And we told the employees day one, we can't ask you to value our agenda as an enterprise until we tangibly demonstrate to you that we value your agenda as a person. So it's up to me and the leadership of this company to show you we care. And we trust that when we show you we care about your agenda, in the fullness of time, you're going to commit and care about our agenda. In my experience, it doesn't work any other way. So we started doing employee engagement surveys. The first one, anecdotally, was the worst one that Gallup had ever seen. And I was thinking, well, it was fairly new then. It was 2001. I said, well, how many have you done? And they said 300 of the Fortune 500. And so I knew we were in trouble. It was the worst. But I'll tell you, by the end of the decade, with a number of things we did, we were actually the best. We went from the worst, which in employee engagement language at the time was two people engaged for every one who wasn't. That was the worst. In other words, a third of your population was looking for a job. By the time I wrapped up my career, we were at 23 to 1. So we had 23 people wildly engaged for every one person who wasn't. And at the time, the world-class benchmark was 12. If you think in terms of you've got a team of 13 people. If 12 people are wildly engaged in the work, it really doesn't matter what the 13th one is doing. You're gonna succeed. So that's what we focus on, employee engagement, showing them we cared. And I guess the other thing was, we were very tough on standards. We set high standards for our leaders. We said your obligation is to lead these people and to bring them with you. And if you don't have an appetite for that, this is probably not the right company for you. So in the first 3 years, we let go 300 of the top 350 leaders of our company, 6 out of 7. I don't know of another Fortune 500 company that's had that kind of churn in 3 years. What was interesting about that, so we were tough-minded on standards and tender-hearted with the people, the overall population, and to kind of put that in perspective, every year we made those changes over the first 3 years, employee engagement actually went up because all the employees knew we had to make those changes. I was scared to death. I was a first-time CEO. Arguably, you could say, because I had no experience, I didn't know my ass from my elbow. I knew what we needed to do, though, and I did it with great intentionality. But I was scared to death this thing was going to blow up while I was making all these changes. And actually, the more changes we made, the better we did. And in hindsight, I almost look back and think, could I have done more, better, faster? I can't imagine doing more than we did those first 3 years. Became competitive. Next 3 years, we became good. We ramped up innovation. We reinvested in the company. We changed the portfolio. We reduced costs in a prudent way. And by the end of the time, we were one of the world's most successful food companies the last 7 years I was there. We created more than 2x the value of the consumer food group, and we created, I want to say, 10x the value of the S&P 500. And the best days looked like they were ahead of us.
What all of you've been hearing is from Doug Conant, one of the truly remarkable turnaround stories in lore of corporations, in the history of corporations. We're about to take a commercial break right now, and when you come back, which of course you might buy Blueprint on Amazon while you're waiting to do this, when you come back, we're going to find out how those concepts tie in towards a changing world that we're dealing with of uncertainty in the pandemic, and how you, what is the concept of moving from success to significance? Back in a few.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're speaking with Doug Conant, who is the CEO of Conant Leadership. And also, we just heard the remarkable turnaround story of Campbell Soup, which almost sounded like, and Mrs. Lincoln, other than that, how was the show? A remarkable turnaround of challenges to succeeding. So what I'm curious about now is you're a leadership guru. You're teaching leadership to many of the Fortune 500 CEOs, to many entrepreneurs, to many board members. You went through a really challenging, uncertain time in that turnaround where you turned everything from success to significance. What advice do you have, maybe from your book Blueprint, maybe from Touchpoints, what advice do you have to CEOs who right now are dealing with trying to emerge from a pandemic where it's uncharted territory as you navigated through those years through a Campbell Soup company?
The challenge today, I think, for every CEO in every culture, and actually for every leader in every culture, is to reassure your colleagues that you care. I think it's all about caring, and that you care so much about them that you want to see them prosper. It's all, so the challenge I give leaders today is how do you, you know, you can show how you care on lots of levels. Using Maslow's hierarchy, it's not complicated. Stephen Covey made it real simple for me. He said they've got to make a good living, they have to feel loved, they have to have opportunities to learn and grow, and at the peak of the pyramid, which Maslow would call self-actualization, is this concept of leaving a legacy of contribution that's second to none. So it's living, loving, learning, leaving a legacy. As a leader, I think you want your associates to genuinely believe that you're trying to make all four levels of that pyramid work for them. When I was driving employee engagement at Campbell, along with a whole team of people, not just me, there was an experience that I found highly instructive. We created the first ever CSR program for Campbell Soup Company, a corporate social responsibility report. And we only published two things on our portal then, that a long time ago, so we didn't have the kind of technology we do today. And also, half our employees didn't have access to terminals. But we published two reports. One was our annual report. The other one was our corporate social responsibility report. You could track who looked at what. Nobody looked at the annual report. Everybody looked at the corporate social responsibility report. Not only did they look at it, but they sent it to their parents, to their kids, saying, look what my company's doing. They shared it with their friends. They took enormous pride that their company was leveraging their scale to make the world a better place, while at the same time we were endeavoring to create great value for our shareholders. And we believed that if we helped build a better world, it would actually enhance our shareholder value. And in fact, it did. So if you want to lead with significance, you sort of have to look at what is the promise you want to make to society to make it a better place? And then you challenge you invite your colleagues in your company to join you on that crusade in a way that makes sense for your company. In our case, at Campbell Soup Company, we were one of the world's largest vegetable processors. So we made a commitment to fifth generation family farms, to helping them prosper and find the right growing conditions and the right environmental footprint. We used a lot of water in our products, so we tried to get our carbon footprint down and our water usage down. And we put together a whole program that over the next decade committed to making a fundamental difference to the environment. We did that, and guess what? Our employees responded. They leaned into it. We started to accomplish all those things. And by the way, we became more profitable. We could spend that money building our business. It was a win-win. The other thing we did was we said, not only do we want to build a better planet, we also want to make sure our hometown communities are prospering because people are local. You know, politics is local. So are companies. And so we had a plant in Maxton, North Carolina. And Maxton, North Carolina made commitments to their community to step up their community engagement too. While we were also trying to build a better world, we were also committed to the town of Maxton. As we were in Camden, we partnered with the state of New Jersey and made major changes to our contribution profile in Camden. And everywhere where we had a location in 38 countries, we were stepping up our commitment to those local communities. Do you think that had an impact on our employees? You betcha. So here we were leaning into supporting the communities in a more fulsome way, in a way our employees could direct and feel good about, trying to help build a better world while we were trying to make world-class products.
And what's so great is you really were the pioneers of CSR, really. I want to ask, we have 3 minutes left before we go to break, and just talk about success to significance personally. And you were dealing with the 21,000 at Campbell Soup, but that's really expanded in these years. You have 3 minutes.
My commitment was I wanted to help leaders lead in a more significant way. So we created Kona Leadership when I retired from Campbell. I wrote a couple books on leadership, Touchpoints, The Blueprint, and we built a social media profile, not for everybody, but we have 400,000 followers that want to talk about leadership and purpose-driven leadership that's focused on creating economic and social value in a loving, caring way. And by the way, you can do all that. You can do it all. And so we're helping people daily do that. And I got to tell you, I was on a call this morning with principals from the province of Ontario, and we were talking about the Blueprint book and leadership and how they could lead in a more significant way. This is important for our community and for all the leaders out there. They have to see that they have the capacity to change their world. And that's what I'm doing now. And I've got to tell you, Robert, there's not a more fulfilling experience. Every day I have an engagement or a conversation with someone who is trying to lift themselves up to a new level of significance and contribution. And just being a part of that journey with someone, nothing more fulfilling.
What is your website?
It's ConantLeadership.com, and we have free resources. I don't get paid for this, so you're getting me at a bargain. Not only you, but I basically don't charge for anything other than some speaking and teaching, which covers our overhead. And so I have no salary. And if we make any money, we give it away to worthy organizations that are championing leadership in the 21st century. We've given away a few million dollars now to those organizations to help them build their own leadership capabilities. And and Kona Leadership is my piece of significance today.
And there you have it. Doug, a real pleasure having you on the CEO show, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Robert Greece, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Ron Rittenmeyer, who is the Executive Chairman and CEO of Tenet Healthcare. I want to start. You've been CEO and leader more than most people have. And you start looking at EDS, Ryder, Burlington Northern Railroad, even Frito-Lay, PepsiCo. So from all of this, in your leadership legacy, how would you define your leadership philosophy?
Well, I appreciate the question. Those are always difficult to define. But I would say that, my philosophy is allow people to express themselves, understand the problem, understand what you're trying to accomplish as a team. Many times you get lost up in a lot of diversion and a lot of other noise, but to stay very focused on the problem and the set of solutions. The best solutions typically come from your team because they're closest to the problem. And many times those solutions may need a little cleaning up, a little finesse. But in the end, I think the quality of what you get as a leader is to allow your people to express themselves and identify where the key points are and being good enough to understand those and play them back and then refine them and then take that information and move forward with it.
And what would you say makes you a strong leader, and what advice do you have to those who you're building on a leadership team, as you've done this in numerous industries?
From my perspective, and again, it is my perspective, the most important thing you can be is frank and honest with your people and direct. I think, I personally have worked for people that when I leave their office, I have no idea what they just told me. I really think it's really important that we as leaders are very clear and very direct with what the issues are. Not allow ourselves to make them personal, but to stay focused on the business issue and to absolutely ensure there's no ambiguity in that topic, because then people can react to the issue and not try to sort out what did you mean by that. You really want to test that they got the answer. You really want to ask them, do you understand what I just said? Could you repeat it back to me? Is that clear enough? What other thoughts might you have? So, a lot of that goes back to, I guess, philosophy and approach, but I have found that it works no matter what the environment.
So we recently spoke, and you used the word blunt, which is a word many CEOs don't use. But as I think about it, that's what creates clarity and removes ambiguity. Talk about the word bluntness.
That's a great question. I believe that being direct and to the point is really important. Many people fear that because they feel it's maybe a bit too blunt and too direct, and they want to ease the end. They want to make the edges of the corners, if you will, smoother. I think you lose something when you're trying to smooth an issue. You need to go for the issue as you see it and ask their input. And you want your employees to be as blunt as you are, so you can have a really fact-based conversation with the intent to come back with a solution that obviously is going to be impactful across the company and be impactful in a very short period of time. Bluntness is not a bad thing. It's how you do it. It should never be an attack. It should not be confused with personal characteristics of a person. It should be directed to the problem and talk directly about the problem and expect an answer directly about the problem. And when people tend to answer you without answering you directly, then you need to go back and push again. Because the only way you're going to get to a solution that's effective and quick is to make sure everybody knows what you're saying and you understand what they're saying back to you.
And when you try to codify what it means to be a great leader, what are the characteristics that you would say are requisite?
Clearly I think you have to be able to listen. It's important that you know what you know, but it's important that you understand what other people know. So I think you have to have the ability to be a good listener and pick the points up that they're making. It's important to focus the conversation on the issues and not allow the conversation to go off track into things that are more of a distraction than they really are the issue. I think it's equally important to acknowledge the individual's contribution and what they have done to help move the business along, but perhaps it's time to revisit where we are now. So to me, it's having the dialogue where you do not hold back. You're very honest. You're very straight. But equally, you're respectful of the individual you're giving that conversation to, that you're having with that individual. You know, at all times, there are certain things you should never forget. One is having respect for the person you're talking to, because they're there and they have value. It's also doing it in a way that you don't attack their pride as an individual or their pride in what they've accomplished. That's not what's important. What's important is solving the issue that you're faced with today. So you don't want to build walls while you're talking to the individual. You want to be direct, to the point, and thoughtful. That, to me, is critical.
Let's move back into being a board member and shifting into being a CEO. So you were a board member at Tenet for about a decade, and then you became CEO. What was that transition like?
It was interesting. Board members tend to understand the company, understand the issues that are presented to them, and or understand issues they interpret based on the board meetings and the other points of information they have. The CEO is the person down in the boiler room. The CEO is not up on the bridge all the time. They have to have the ability to go to the different areas and understand what's really going on. In order to do that, when you leap from board member to CEO, you should realize that board members are not the CEO. Good board members realize that, and they're much more as an advisor, a prodder, someone who is providing support and asking questions and digging into issues that may be presented. CEO has to live that life. CEO has to live among the people. CEO has to understand how the ship really runs and where the noise is, where the issues are. Good CEOs should be able to walk through their company, go out in the field and visit, and just by walking and listening to the various vibrations that people give off, they should have a sense of whether or not things are moving in the right direction. And that means you got to take the time to understand the issues and then the organization that you've got. So the transition is not difficult, but it is different than being a board member. And it is different than stepping back and letting people just tell you something and only having so much time or depth to be able to dig. I tend to dig in where I think there are issues, and I dig in very deeply because I want to be sure I really do understand the problem. And then, you know, the other thing is obviously you have to build a team, but we can talk about that separately. But I think that's the transition. It's not difficult. It just is different.
So let's stay with being a board member in that you've had the unique legacy in leadership of being in varied industries. Are there any standard mistakes that you've recognized on boards that you say, they're doing it the wrong way? You don't need to point out a company, but just from a theoretical perspective.
Well, that's a good question that I would answer this way. Boards can't be theoretical. They can be strategic, but not theoretical. And if they're strategic, they've got to realize in order to affect proper strategic planning, you have to have a tactical plan that backs it up. So many times boards, I think, get caught up in the strategy, but they really don't dig into, so how are you actually going to do this? You know, I used to have this cup that showed a person in the middle and a circle that said, this is where we are, and then a circle at the top that said, this is where we're going to be, and then a little sparkly thing in the middle that said, and here's where the miracle occurs. As a board, you have to understand that miracle between where you are and where you want to be. So many times boards don't spend the depth around how are we actually going to do this? What are the actual things we need to do? Is it people? Is it investment? Is it capital? Is it different? Do we have to do acquisitions? And why are those important? So the questions are, what do we have to do to make that leap? And then why are those the important things that we would do to make that leap? And then how practical is it that we could do it? I think those are questions that have to be really dug in a little bit so that you build the confidence that people have thought that through.
We'll talk later about becoming the CEO and what it was like in the pandemic. And by the way, we're about to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk more with Ron. Back in a few.
By disseminating CEO wisdom, the CEO Show elevates business, the economy, and society.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here with Ron Rittenmeyer, who is the executive chairman and CEO of Tenant Health. At a certain point, fairly recently, you were told that you would have a new CEO and you would become executive chairman. How did you respond to that announcement?
Well, for clarification, I was executive chairman and CEO. I hired the individual who's going to be the CEO, hired him with the intent to build a succession plan for myself, and he has developed and done such a terrific job, we moved forward with that. I went to the board and said I thought it was smarter if we moved him in a little bit earlier, and I stayed on as executive chairman. I am executive chairman of the company and executive chairman of the board. He reports to me, still as CEO. I report to the board. So we built a transition plan over the next 15 months, that allows me to continue to operate as the most senior officer of the company and allows him to continue to relate to me and to deal with me on a daily or whatever frequency we decide, as we've been doing for the last couple of years, so that as we transition staff, decision-making, whatever, he would have an active role in that and I would still be available in a very active way. So it was at my request the board made the change. So I reacted to it very favorably because I thought it was the right thing to do. I obviously was comfortable that the individual, Dr. Sampsateria, would be equally comfortable in taking the reins. He's an outstanding individual with just phenomenal skills. And I think our ability to work together as closely as we had, some of that was driven obviously by the situation of not only the turnaround, but then we had to face COVID together. We'll make this transition so smooth that it will be seamless. And, you know, the market has reacted very positively to that. The board was very positive. And I believe the employees feel very comfortable with how we're doing it.
You were talking earlier about digging deeper and hearing the noise. And let's talk about with distractions. When you come in and there's a pandemic, and that's not something easy to navigate through. How did you keep everyone focused, and how did you know where the heartbeat of the company and of leadership needed to be at that critical time?
I was probably in this role, I guess, call it a little bit over a year, when the pandemic really hit. Sam had been in the role almost a year. As we watched it unfold, which it did fairly quickly, we realized we had to make some very quick decisions. We brought our executive team together and talked about those decisions in detail, the implication of those decisions in the field as well as in headquarters. We knew we had to take steps to reduce our costs and get more focused on exactly what was going on in the field. We had numerous government involvement around regulations and procedures. We set up our own command post immediately with our top clinical people headed up by our chief medical officer, and we began daily calls to the field where someone from the clinical side as well as the CEO of the hospital would join the call, and we did it as one large call, and it would take several hours a day, led by the chief medical officer, because we wanted to be sure that we had one source of truth in terms of rules, regulations, and what we were seeing across the country, because every market was slightly different. It required the team to be absolutely tightened up and focused on the problem. The problem was COVID. The problem was how do we maintain ourselves from a personal protective equipment standpoint all the way through adequate beds, adequate ICU capacity, the whole long list that we faced. Through that process, we obviously started out. I'm sure we weren't very efficient at it first month, but by the third month or so, we were very good at it.
When you look back at the totality of your career to date, What is one achievement that you're proudest of? You've been in numerous different segments and verticals of the economy.
You know, the one thing that I think I must honestly admit that I enjoy the most is seeing the people that work for me in these various industries, many of them, really, really blossom and rise up and become senior managers either in that business or somewhere else. Really, the growth that I've watched people achieve across the board is honestly very, very personally rewarding and exciting. And I always feel good about that. I always feel that when we lose high talented people, not necessarily to a competitor, but to another industry, I think that is the thing we should be most proud of, because we've really taken these individuals and nurtured them and developed them and provided the support they needed, and many times the confidence that they because they already had the skills, maybe it was building up the confidence. And whatever it was, it's just great to see that happen. And over time, you know, you talk about a long career, a lot of these people today I see in various jobs as CEOs or COOs, and they're doing great. And you always feel you had a part of that at some level.
You had a really interesting leadership philosophy you had told me previously about low-hanging fruit. Explain that.
Well, you know, when you talk to people, individuals, they want to talk about, there's two parts to that. They want to talk about what they're doing, and they feel like they're doing a really great job. My theory is that what I tell them at the end is I appreciate what they've accomplished, and I appreciate where they see themselves, but their great may not be my great. And they need to understand my great, how I define great, and that's what they need to strive for, because my great's going to be a bit higher than their great. And it's important to acknowledge what you've accomplished. It's equally important to realize that you haven't accomplished everything. And then that leads to the second point that I talk about, which is, you know, low-hanging fruit is relative to the height of the individual. I tell people many times that at this stage, you haven't even seen what I consider to be low-hanging fruit. It's a bit higher than you're considering, and that means you need to grow more. And it really is relative to the height of the individual and their ability to reach even further.
Final question. Is there anything that people would be surprised to know about you?
I don't know. I'm pretty transparent. I'd have to think about that for a minute. Been married 47 years. I'm a tech diver. I go deep, 350 feet. Not something I talk about, I guess, externally very often. And I spend a lot of time with my family when I can get free. So I don't know if any of those would be a surprise or not, but, you know, I've enjoyed every job I've had. I can't think of one that I could say I did not enjoy. I approach every job with the attitude that I'm going to be in this job the rest of my life, which obviously I've not proven yet to be correct. I've retired 4 to 5 times. And obviously I've been an abject failure at that. But I like what I do. I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy being surrounded by people that really want to deliver the mission that they've been given. And it's I find it very exciting.
I want to thank you, Ron, for being on the CEO show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.